Sometimes when I get home late at night, I'm not in the mood for anything serious. My job is something that constantly deals with things that are pretty serious. And so sometimes at night, I look for mindless television to sort of distract me. And there's not a lot of good stuff out there. So sometimes I watch junk. And there's one program that's between okay and junk that's called Drop Dead Diva. Now, some of you may have seen Drop Dead Diva. But Drop Dead Diva is about a very, very pretty 20-something model that is killed in a car accident. And when she is killed in a car accident, the dialogue that comes right at the beginning of the show says, "I thought I'd go straight to heaven, but then I woke up in someone else's body." And of course, the story, of course, which has no relevance to the homily I'm about to give, but the story is about how she wakes up, this gorgeous model, wakes up in the body of a still very pretty but very heavy woman. And you see, who's a lawyer, and you see her on the operating room when she opens her eyes and she sees herself in the mirror and she screams because she's not herself, literally. But the thing that strikes me every time I see the tagline for Drop Dead Diva is when she says, "I died and I thought I'd go straight to heaven." And she says that with such confidence. You know, and then you watch the rest of the show, the personality she has in this other body, and there's a total absence of God. Of course, now remember, it's a TV program. But there's a total absence of God, and there's a total absence of pretty much all morality. Very little morality is left. Yet, she still thought she'd go straight to heaven. It's sort of, how did I say this? Every time I hear it, I sort of get this jolt. Because in Catholic tradition, we understand that God is merciful. But there's a tension. And the tension is between presumption and despair. Now, what is those two? The sin of presumption, and it's a sin, it's an attitude that no matter what I do, I'm going straight to heaven. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going straight. And to a lot of people, a sentimentality of that type, that's reflected in that show. You know, there's a great New York Times columnist, and I don't know if I pronounce his name correctly or not, but he's a very, very a strange animal indeed. He's a conservative columnist at the New York Times. And his name is Ross Douthat, or Douthat, D-O-U-T-H-A-T. And he wrote a book called Bad Religion. And he's a Catholic, and the book is really quite good. But the book is telling us how the religion in the United States is not absent, but what has happened to it is we've gone from the 19th century and the early 20th century of hellfire and damnation, which is the opposite of presumption, and that is despair. When you used to, my God, is that's, you know, the disciples are going, oh, my God, who can get into the kingdom of God? It's despair. And you see it in a lot of saints that in previous ages of Christianity, there has been kind of the hellfire and brimstone attitude towards life. But we have gone to the opposite extreme. And the opposite extreme is, whatever, we're all going to go to heaven as long as we're nice. And that's really all that's required. Let's just be nice. Now, please understand, there's a hard middle ground because God is merciful. He is merciful. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want and that we can't go around presuming. Now, why am I speaking about this? Because in my experience of 35 years of ministry, there are very, very few people who constantly worry, not worry, that's not a good word, whose main concern is being holy. Very few people that I've met. For many of us, our faith is kind of a side issue. And you see it, we see it in the priorities, for example, of many of parents who, when you ask them, you know, what they want for their kids, holiness or sanctity is hardly ever mentioned. And when it comes to choosing priorities for either religious education or soccer or baseball, soccer, baseball, well, that may get them into college or stuff like that. And religious education is, well, you know, in your spare time, you do that, as long as it doesn't conflict with anything else. And that is very much in contrast with the young man in the gospel today. Now, the young man in the gospel today, notice, he's not hurting for money. So, but what's his main concern? How do I gain eternal life? For all of his failure in terms of approaching Jesus and what Jesus asks him to do, his main concern, he runs up to Jesus and says, Master, how? Because he feels, now notice, he's a good guy. He's been keeping all of the commandments since he was little. And so Jesus says to him, one thing you lack, and that is, you know, the virtue of poverty. And the reason is, and what I said, the virtue of poverty, is that the young man was very attached to his wealth. And Jesus, the gospel says something very interesting. Jesus loved him. So Jesus saw in this man a good man. But at the same time, he saw a man who, the image that I have in my mind is one that comes from St. John of the Cross, and that is the image of a bird who wants to fly, but is tied by one of his legs by a thread to a rock. The thread is not very big, but regardless, that thread keeps him from flying. And that is what the young man has the problem with. It's that the gospel says his face fell. It's an interesting term, having your face fall. But what I want you to notice, and what I want to draw your attention to this morning, is just the two polar opposites that culture, and believe me, our minds are formed by the prevailing culture. That's why that scene in Drop Dead Diva catches my eye so much, because the sin of almost a sentimental presumption, that's what Ross Douthat was referring to. He's just saying, we have not become irreligious in the United States. We've just become, and he uses the term, heretics. And he uses that term because what he's saying is, we have settled for bad religion. It's a sort of a feel-good-ism that doesn't change anything for anyone, but it's sort of a superficial feel-goodism that ends up with dying and going straight to heaven. And what I think is important for us is to consider what the church actually does teach. The church does teach that heaven, God loves each one of us. But the church also reminds us not to be presumptive. That sort of everything, anything goes, and then you die and go straight to heaven. The church reminds us that there is something called purgation. And that is what we call purgatory. Now, please understand. Don't have an infant's perception of purgatory or heaven or hell. Heaven is, sometimes people come up to me and say, Father, isn't heaven going to be boring? I mean, we're all going to be sitting there, you know, in a big stadium watching God. You know, and I go, oh my God. You know, and, or hell, you know, you're standing there going, and there's pitchforks coming at you and stuff like that. And purgatory, well, somewhere in the middle. You know, you're sort of doing, you know, like 30 years for eating beef jerky on a Friday. Or something like that. Okay? And those things are silly. What we're talking about is, what is your life dedicated to? What's your priorities? Could you qualify as, even as much as a young man, didn't quite measure up to what Jesus saying, was Jesus was challenging him. Do we qualify that one of our main concerns is holiness, joy, wisdom. Listen, I found the first reading tremendously important. I prayed for prudence. Now, this is what he's asking for. He's not asking to pass the bar exam or to win the lottery. I prayed for prudence. This desire is evident. And this is from the Book of Wisdom. I pleaded, and the Spirit of Wisdom came to me. I prefer her to scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison to her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand, and before her silver is to be accounted as mire. Beyond health and comeliness, beauty, I loved her. And I chose to have her rather than light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things together come to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. This guy is obsessed with what's important. I just want to leave you with one thing. And this is a line from T.S. Eliot, the great English American poet of the 40s and 50s. T.S. Eliot, in his poem, Ash Wednesday, said, "Lord, teach me to care and not to care." The reason I leave you with that is because what concerns me about culture, not any individual one of you, but culture, is that we teach each other to care about the wrong things. We teach and encourage people to give their lives to the pursuit of, I guess, happiness, since our declaration states that. But we define happiness as earthly pleasure. And I don't know too many people who are obsessed with prudence and wisdom, who desire her beyond health, beyond beauty, and choose her rather than light. And that young man in the first reading, I mean in the gospel reading, really, even though he failed, he's got it right. He's worrying about the right things. He's caring about the right things, even though he's not ready. And I think he is a good lesson for us in the midst of a culture that just presumes that all we have to do is live our lives seeking our earthly paradise, and then when we die, we'll go straight to heaven. I think there's something wrong with that. And I think the example of the boy who came to Jesus, or the man who came to Jesus, has a lot to teach us about how to be concerned and how to care about what you should care about and not caring. Folks, knowing what not to care about and what to care about is important. It is just as wrong to care about what you shouldn't care about as not to care about what you should. God bless.